afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Well, I hope everybody got in an afternoon nap. I'm sure everybody was up late yesterday watching all the results come in from the elections. And there's a couple of interesting things that I saw that we'll talk about. I'm sure, you know, the election results have been haggled all day long, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. But there was a couple of interesting little notes that, I saw that I thought was kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that in the second segment of the program today. First, we have Wendy Wilson joining us in the first segment. So let me go ahead and get to the precious metals. Gold tried to take off today. We had 1232, 1233 is a high. We're looking at 1226.80. So down a few cents today. We saw the same thing with silver tried to take off, certainly off its high at $14.63, up 0.4. Platinum was up $4 at $876, and palladium was up $17, another big day for palladium at $1,136. There was pressure on the dollar. It came back also, but we're still looking at 0.09 at 96.14. Crude oil was down 0.66 at 61.55. And the stock markets today, let's see. And I'm just going to say this. It's interesting, too. The S&P and the Dow surged today is the best rally after midterm election since 1982. And, you know, it's interesting because we like to share this presidency with the, you know, Ronald Reagan is often brought up, and, you know, I'm thinking tax cuts, and I think it might be similar. You know, you have the tax cuts, huge tax cuts, stimulus into the economy. Shortly thereafter, Ronald Reagan left with 123% increase in the debt. So, again, I think you're going to see things very similar with these tax cuts. And I guess the tax cuts 2.0, that's out the window. So you may as well forget about that. That was just an election ploy anyway. But it was nice to think about, perhaps. But here we go with the stock markets. Today you had the Dow up 545 points at 26,180. The news is the Dow jumped this much because investors like a divided government. They just pull everything out of their hats, don't they? Investors like a divided government. I guess maybe so, because that means there's no changes, no big shocks to the system and so forth. But we'll talk about that again here after the first segment of the program today. The NASDAQ was up 194 points, a little over 2.5%. In fact, all of them were up over 2% at 7,570. The S&P was up 58, 2,813. 10-year yield, 3.21%. We got some interesting news about these rates and homeownership. Not good numbers. And let's see if there's anything else. It was pretty quiet across the seas. And, you know, the emotion that's driving the market, you know, it's not down into the single digits. It's up to 24. So that's beginning to come back a little bit. And, you know, we saw a little positive in Bitcoin today, but not much at all. And let's get right to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about this topic of drug-induced lung disease. And because, you know, there's side effects to medications, and, you know, that's so common that, you know, patients really hardly pay much attention to them. But what about side effects that are unpublished and even doctors aren't aware of them? Then we have a problem. So they can actually create a lot of unpleasant complications, cost patients thousands of dollars in care, and even shorten their lives. So we're going to talk about this drug-induced lung disease people aren't aware of. Now, recently, the universities of Manchester, Leeds, and Sheffield in the UK took the time to look into some dangerous side effects from some very common medications, like medications people are taking for heart disease, arthritis, and cancer, with regard to what is known as drug-induced lung disease. So they reported that patients and doctors can kind of be taken by surprise when using some of these medications to treat their conditions, and they come down with pulmonary problems. So apparently the drug-induced interstitial lung disease, or DILD for short, is becoming more common. And it is a condition that causes a permanent breathing problem. Now, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and Institutes of Health, this drug-induced interstitial lung disease issue is not new. Back in 2012, they actually reported that there was an increasing number of patient cases with this disease stemming from the use of therapeutic medicines. In fact, they said that the list of prescription medicines that is causing the problem is growing. So the drugs they mentioned were usually prescribed for some very common health symptoms, such as inflammation of the lungs, like if you have asthma, lung fibrosis, bronchial spasms, pulmonary edema, congestive heart failure, cancer if you're on chemo drugs, antibiotics, rheumatoid arthritis meds, arrhythmia drugs, immune suppressive medications, and lupus medications. So this drug-induced interstitial lung disease, actually the damage is discovered after it becomes permanent. So diagnosis often occurs after the patient has been on their drug treatment for about 8 or more months. And the most common administration of the drugs is oral in pill form. However, the same problem can crop up if you're on a nebulizer, an inhaled form of the medicine, or if you get in an injection form. You can still get this type of risk to lung disease. And the survival rate, once you're diagnosed with it, is 3 to 5 years. And patients often perish after they encounter a bout with pneumonia. Any questions?
Was this like lung cancer or anything like that, or is it just?
It just inflames the lung tissue and then scars it, and then it's very hard for the lungs to process gases, or you know, your carbon dioxide, your oxygen, and you just have trouble breathing, and eventually the lungs get weaker and weaker, and then if you have, let's say, a virus like pneumonia, you're not going to survive.
Hmm. Well, you know, the sad thing is that people just aren't informed, because, I mean, if you take these medications, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, whatever problem you might have, it could be beneficial to that problem, but then the after effects or the things that can happen are, you know, it doesn't give the patient a very well-informed data in order to make, you know, these decisions on whether
you're talking about informed consent, and modern medicine sadly has chucked that to the side. You know, same thing with vaccines and a lot of treatments. You're not getting the full picture. Sometimes doctors don't even have the full picture. You have to really dig for stuff. Here's a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. This is what they said in 2012. They said more than 450 medications are known to cause drug-induced interstitial lung disease. However, the frequency is unknown. The number of drugs that cause this lung disease will undoubtedly continue to increase as new drug agents are developed. And this is also from Dr. Nazi Chahari. He's the University of Manchester. He says, doctors need to be aware and vigilant to the possible lung toxicities and harm that can be caused by some prescription drugs. With new drugs coming on the market, this is an ever-increasing yet under-recognized problem, and we need better ways to detect the side effects before they cause harm. And also, the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institutes of Health added, to minimize the potential morbidity and mortality from drug-induced respiratory diseases, all healthcare providers should be made aware of all the possible adverse effects of the medications they prescribe. Drug-induced lung injury may also involve the airway and neuromuscular system, whereas failure to appreciate the relationship between the drug and the pulmonary disease can lead to irreversible lung injury and death. End of quote. So it almost sounds like people aren't doing their homework, you know, and they're just prescribing these meds without even a second thought.
Well, you know, when you think of medication, you think of, you know, the two organs is the liver and the kidneys. You rarely associate lungs with being affected by these medications. But how much liability? I mean, we all know the money, 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 follow the money. But these pharmaceutical companies, I mean, that should be their responsibility in order to, and they should be held accountable, shouldn't they?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, back in 2012, when the U.S. National Library of Medicine reported on this, back then there was 2 million patients each year that developed this lung disease based on 25 to 60% of the medications that worked for patients for whatever treatments they were over or they were under. So overall report, though, shows that this drug-induced pulmonary toxicity is underreported worldwide, not just in the U.S., so the numbers are really unknown. And so if a patient is suffering from, let's say, an acute case of drug-induced lung disease, the mortality rate for them is 40 to 50%, despite of being removed off the medicine.
Wow.
Yeah. So they also said if patients get this lung disease and they're ambulatory, their risk of dying early is 10%, but if they're not ambulatory, their risk is 33% mortality. So, by the way, we ran this article in the newsletter. So, listeners who are subscribing to the American Survival Newsletter, there is a link for a full list of medicines that cause this risk. So, people can look it up and see if they're taking any of these drugs if they just click that link.
And they could go to both our websites. They can go to to dgscoins.com and sign up for the newsletter, which comes out Monday. And your portion of the newsletter goes out, and where they go to your website, correct?
Right. Now, so this article that we're talking about now did come out in last week's newsletter. Mm-hmm. So on your last publication, that's where they can find that information. So modern medicine really doesn't know what the true risk is for anyone getting drug-induced lung disease. That's a problem. However, they do state that having an inflammatory condition in your body and you're taking other medical treatments, it can actually trigger certain medicines to increase your risk of lung disease. So they say if you have things like inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, if you're taking multiple toxic drug therapies, you're at a greater risk. If you're on chemotherapy, also the young and old at a greater risk of getting lung disease from medications. If you have kidney disease, your risk jumps 10%. Females, they say, are for some reason at a higher risk than males. African Americans are at an even higher risk than white females. And radiation therapy combined with chemo increases the risk of lung disease as well. And if you're a smoker, of course, that increases your risk. So, but I want to touch real quickly on some of the very common medications Americans are on and people around the world. Heart medicines. There's like 15 million Americans taking statin heart medications, and this class of drug offers a 6% chance of causing the drug-induced lung disease. The fatality rate increases by 20 to 42% when the statin-induced drug is used and get the lung disease by that. So 6 to 42% chance that you could get the lung disease on statin drugs. Hmm. And who knew that, right?
Yeah, really. Really?
And then what about the anti-inflammatory medications? The non-steroidal anti-inflammatory meds, 70 million Americans take that stuff. These can create what is called a salicylate toxicity. So when you mix that with other medicines, this creates a reaction that can result in what is called acute pulmonary hypersensitivity and increases your risk of contracting pneumonial infections. And then the reactions, they tend to develop within maybe 3 years of taking these types of drugs, the non-steroidals. So look for that. Similar reactions also occur if you're taking certain antibiotics. So if you're on long courses of antibiotics or repeated courses of antibiotics, you're putting yourself at a risk.
You know, you hear more and more of how lungs and asthma problems and, you know, are increasing.
Yep.
And this could have, you know, be one of those reasons why.
Right. Yeah. It's really, well, I mean, notice they said multi-drug toxicity, you know, so how many people over the age of 50 are on four or more medicines, mm-hmm. you know? So, Now, I also want to mention the biologic medicines. They're kind of a new thing. They've been on the market about 10 years, the biologics. They represent about 22% of the market share in treatments. And these drugs are made from living organisms like plants and animals, but they also have what they call recombinant proteins, tissues, genes, blood components, and other chemicals in them, kind of similar to ingredients you may find in some vaccines. So these biological drugs are used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune syndrome, psoriasis, cancer, Crohn's disease. And apparently these biological drugs can increase the risk of the drug-induced pulmonary diseases. So be aware of that. Mm. So basically, the lung injury that happens when the lungs can't process the gases, they can fill up with fluid, you get lung edema. And then if the injury progresses, the tissue in the lung gets inflamed, then there's scarring, and then there's difficulty breathing, and the lungs can't process the blood gases. And usually chemotherapy drugs are known to directly cause a lot of toxic reaction effect. So when you're on chemo drugs with other prescription drugs, it creates a lot of oxidative stress and cell toxicity that actually can lead to cell death. So it's cross-reactive stuff that doctors aren't looking into.
Well, boy, you know... Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, no, Wendy. Boy, in the spirit of Halloween, we're hearing from the boogeyman here. This is scary stuff. I mean, it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is that we've really got to be more active in our own health and treatment of disease, and not just, you know, take our healthcare provider's word for, you know, whatever kind of treatment they're suggesting.
Yeah, it's really important that you're going to have to dig for and ask a lot of questions, more specific questions. Now, for those people that are worried, if you think you're maybe having drug-induced lung diseases, it tends to manifest over a period of time, but there have been cases where the onset is quite rapid. So here are some of the symptoms: dry cough, shortness of breath, and acute breathlessness, wheezing, fatigue, appetite loss, abdominal pain, fever, rash, and asthma-like responses. So patients can develop pulmonary hemorrhages and even acute anemia. And before death, there's a lot of sputum, there's delirium and labored breathing. So scientific medicine recommends patients suffering from a drug-induced lung disease to also take, get this, the pneumonia and influenza vaccines.
Huh.
Yeah. I know.
Stay healthy. Just stay healthy.
Right. Well, see, you know, Dave hit the nail.
Oh,
the
we're out of time.
You got to be proactive. You do. Oh, we have free shipping now through the 11th on orders, any orders. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Wendy.
We'll be back in just a few short minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And do I hear, was the music still going? I'm not sure, but we're here. What is that noise? Must be some sort of background noise. Anyway, we have Attorney General Jeff Sessions resigned today under pressure from Trump. I didn't know if you knew that, Dave.
I did.
And he's leading the administration. President Trump has repeatedly hammered Sessions for his decision last year to recuse himself from the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 election. Sessions' chief of staff, Matthew Whitaker, will serve as a acting attorney general. Whitaker will also assume oversight of the ongoing investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. Let's see if there's any other news there worth repeating in that. The attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, has been seen going into the White House today. So I'm not sure how all that is going to play out.
Let's hope he doesn't come out in a body bag.
Yeah,
I don't think we do that in this country.
No, yeah, not that anybody knows of. it's interesting. Let's see if there's any other. And I'm not sure this is an ongoing thing, but I don't know. Everybody didn't think Jeff Sessions did enough, and. And we've certainly heard complaints about him. So he's out. Not sure who is going to replace him. I don't think Rosenstein.
No, conventional wisdom right now is that Trump will stick with Whitaker through the end of the year, or at least until the Congress adjourns and the session ends, no pun intended. And then he'll announce a quote permanent replacement that the new Congress, with presumably, you know, one, two, or three additional Republicans, will, you know, then consider his confirmation. That's what the initial feedback has been by the so-called pundits.
Well, you know, it's. Matthew Whitaker, he was a big Mueller critic, and so now he will be overseeing the Russian probe. So anyway, kind of interesting, and it didn't affect the markets. And as we mentioned earlier today, that I guess now the markets like Dave likes the gridlock.
They
that
like
faces.
Yep. Apparently, divided governance is the impetus for investors.
You know, and I do. President Trump said that he's going to be seeking bipartisan cooperation on certain issues like drug prices and infrastructure. And, you know, that certainly helped the stock market today. And I do believe they will be working together. I mean, certainly you see all the comments about Schiff and Pelosi and all these subpoenas and stuff like that. But you know what? Democrats want some items. Trump wants some items. And I think you will see them working together more so than what we have in the past. I mean, that's just, that's just what I see. But, there was a Dan Deming, manager director of KKM Financial, said that the fact that the election played out as expected gives the administration some ability to keep initiatives alive. And everyone thinks that this is going to be positive in the near term. And we'll see how it's played out. But
yeah, we will. I mean, the major stocks rallied across multiple sectors. The biggies and the Dow Jones, Caterpillar, you know, Amazon, Alphabet, they all rose. Caterpillar now seen as getting a boost from continued economic growth and the chance that Democrats can temper the trade war issues, particularly between the U.S. and China. There's also some initial optimism that the president and Democrats could work together on an infrastructure plan. We'll see what's going on. As Melody said, I mean, tech shares rose. That drove the NASDAQ. You know, as a divided Congress could also keep, the president from seriously going after someone like Amazon, who he is criticized for being too big and influential on the economy. Maybe there's a project for Whitaker overseeing one of the first antitrust actions that will have been on the plate in a long time, Melody.
How can they do any trust actions on these corporations when they do so much government business? Amazon has huge contracts with the government. They all do.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, one has nothing to do with the other, although... reality, the big companies, you know, would use that to push back on any, you know, particularly privately. It just shows the kumbaya, strange bedfellow nature of politics and big business in the United States. It's not, you know, that's nothing new. That's been going on for decades. It's just gotten worse. As we have more and more consolidated banks and other companies, are these oligarchies, if not actual monopolies.
There's been a number of market observers believe that the democratically controlled House could lead to more investigations into Trump, and therefore make the stock market a little more volatile. I said earlier today, I did a program with Beth Ann, and I said, I think what you're going to find is, everyone's already setting up for 2020. So this is what it's going to be all about. And whether it be gridlock, whether they begin to work things out with the infrastructure and stuff. Number one, there's no money. There's no money in this country to do a big infrastructure product. So it's all being geared for the 2020 election. So, it's still a great buying opportunity for gold and silver because this election didn't take away our debt. It didn't take away any of our problems and probably just perhaps added to some of our problems. So, I don't know if it held them off for a couple of years or not. It all remains to be seen. But, you know, the stock market today kind of shows that, you know, now that the election is over, it's just like everything, it's just weird. I don't know if people are just truly exhausted, you know, by, you know, the peak of the election yesterday, and they're just went on vacation.
Huh? There's absolutely no question in my mind. You know, there's postpartum depression.
Yes.
And then there's, you think it ought to be post-election elation, but it isn't. It's as you said, people are just exhausted from months and months of negative ads and being bombarded for $3, $5, $100 donations to, you know, your favorite out-of-state candidate. And, I think people just want to go back to their reality TV and be left alone, Alan, until the presidential election in 2 years. Of course, once the new Congress is sworn in January, things will, I think, perk up again. I don't see any major lame duck session. Coming with tax cut 2.0 or
that's
any sort of immigration reform that some suggested this morning.
Well, they'll all be used as bartering tools, and we'll see how it plays out. I know President Trump did I don't know how long his press conference was today. I know it was supposed to start at 11:30, and when I finally was on the had the radio on, it was like 12:30, quarter to one. I don't know how long he was being asked questions and so forth, but he sounded very, very tired. I don't think he had any sleep overnight, and I guess there were some tense moments and so forth. But anyway, we did see gold and silver. They did come off some of their gains today, as I mentioned earlier, but it did hold pretty good against the dollar. And I think with the split in the government, as we've been saying, it's not going to impact gold much going forward. I think gold is poised to increase, and there isn't any ands, if, buts about it. I think the biggest driver for gold still remains the dollar and our debt. And, again, we saw the dollar index fall a little bit today. It's a great day to be buying gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And, I don't think that the European leaders at all or worldwide, from talking with James Corbett, nobody really cares about our election. So did the European leaders have any problem with any comments?
It's been a mixed reaction initially. In Germany, Foreign Affairs Minister Heiko Maas said the outcome of the midterms wouldn't change President Trump's discourse. He argued that it's time to remeasure and realign Germany's relationship with the U.S., which is not surprising, coming on the heels of Angela Merkel's announcement that she won't seek re-election her current term is up in 2021. Meanwhile, the EU's Commissioner for Economic and Financial Affairs, Pierre, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, Moscovici, appeared to take a sly dig at Trump as well. I mean, he's a Frenchman, and the former finance minister noted that Democrats had won the House of Representatives for the first time in 8 years, despite what he called Republican gerrymandering. Interesting observation from a foreign leader. And then VP of the European Commission, Frans Timmermans, took to Twitter saying he had been inspired by U.S. voters who chose hope over fear. Melody.
Well, even in Italy, the new leader of the right-wing party said, of course he was going to support, he expressed his support for Trump.
Salvini,
Matteo Salvini, congratulations to President. I'm not sure if I sound like Count Dracula or an Italian. But congratulations to President Trump for the seats that he won at the Senate and those that he held in the crucial states against everyone, left-wing journalists, actors, singers, directors. And Russia, the Kremlin, said that the results of the midterms had not brightened the prospects. So it goes on there were a lot of congratulations.
Yes, I'll pat your back if you pat mine.
Yes, the truth be told.
Excuse me. Back here in the U.S., getting back to our weekly mortgage application news, rising interest rates are clearly taking their toll on potential home buyers. Total mortgage application volume fell 4% last week from a week earlier and plunged 16% from a year ago. That's according to the Weekly Mortgage Banker Association's seasonally adjusted index. Mortgage apps to purchase a home led the volume lower, falling 5% for the week and the lowest level in 2 years. Housing supply has been quite constrained for several years. As a result, the housing market has been out of whack with
that we'd lose
that
Dave.
That was said by, hello?
Yes, you're there. Go ahead.
I'm here. That was said by Michael Frattantoni, the NBA's chief economist. Now, rising interest rates are weakening affordability further. The average contract interest rate for 30-year fixed rate mortgages with conforming loan balances of $453,100 or less increased 4 basis points to 5.15%. That's the highest rate, Melody, since April of 2010.
Well, you know, with the rates increasing slightly last week, there's various job market indicators show a bounce back in job gains and you know, the acceleration in wage growth back in October. Mortgage applications to refinance a home loan have been falling for more than a year and fell 3% more last week. So the volume was 33% lower than a year ago. What folks don't realize, I mean, these are important numbers. Because when you're buying a new home, you buy refrigerators, dishwashers, you buy new furniture, you buy things for outside, new home, you kind of, you know, and it's surprising because we've just noted, we talked about Lowe's closing how many stores that will be laying off a lot of people.
51. So even
51 stores. So it's, to me, these are the signs that are important. And I guess, Dave, if rates drop significantly, then things would turn around. But how are these rates going to drop? The rates have to rise. You know, it's, I mean, they just have to rise. So, you know, you're going to see these mortgage rates continue to move higher, as we saw at the start of this week. And, you know, we could see volatility later in the week. And the bellwether 10-year Treasury yield, again, was fairly flat at midday today, down about 2 basis points. And then it turned around just a little after noon back up to what I reported going into the show.
You know, and it's interesting, Melody. I know we'll be hitting up against a break here, but it looks as though Americans seem to welcome rising interest rates. I mean, you know,
the good and the bad, right?
The good and the bad. Yeah, I mean, as another Fed Open Market Committee meeting gets underway today, you know, recent signs of rising inflation, which, you know, has pushed the Fed into hiking rates 3 years ago. Some investors are saying, well, that's not necessarily bad. You know, rising rates, as we know, are generally considered an indication that the economy is doing well. And they often pave the way for pay raises and a better return on savings. Well, nearly half, 49% of Americans polled said that a better return on my savings was the most important effect of rising interest rates. Melody, with all due respect to our fellow Americans, I'm not sure they've actually looked at these numbers closely. Because when you look at our credit card debt,
I know,
and how much, you know, more has been added to that this year alone, and you know, you're getting these 0% rates for, you know, 6 to 18 months, and then, you know, it's just going back up to 20, 23, 24%.
Oh, I know. Hey, we're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. We'll be right back. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, and going into the break, we have a little special today. I ran it this morning on Beth Ann's program, CSC Talk Radio, and it's our normal little package, but instead of we've been running the 90% silver, and I changed that to the 20 American Silver Eagles, the 1 ounce, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. This includes your shipping cost, $499. $499, and so that's 20 American Silver Eagles, 1 ounce, 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It includes your shipping costs, $499. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I'm really disappointed that no one took me up on the complete set of the Mint State 64 Peace Dollars. That was a beautiful set. And they're hard to come by, especially in that Mint State 64 grade. And it was a deal because you were actually able to purchase it lower than what the PCGS had it listed for. And but
do you still have any?
No. Like I said, they're hard to go. That was
easy.
Come easy go,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, it was beautiful. $16,000. It was a beautiful, beautiful set. But anyway, back to the rate. And, you know, we were talking about this during the break about where people who have savings, this is finally their day, they think, that after a decade of near zero returns, that they're happy about this, Dave. Only 8% were primarily concerned with the variable interest rate on their credit card.
Good
8%,
Lord.
Which rises in lockstep with the Fed's benchmark rate. And although the Fed has raised the federal funds rate 8 times in 2 years, those hikes largely haven't trickled down to consumers in the form of better saving yields. While the average interest rate on a saving account is still only 0.2%, some top yielding savings accounts are now as high as 2.25%, up from 1.1% in 2015. And this was all according to Bankrate.
What are you complaining about, Melody? That's more than double.
Yeah.
Of course, well, as we said back in 2012 and 13, well, double zero, you know, zero times, you know, zero to the second or third power is still zero. I'm sorry, that didn't come off as how I wanted it to, but
good. It was good enough. Yeah.
All right.
I got it.
All right. Anyway, need to work on my timing. Anyway, you know, with a savings rate of just, you know, 0.2%, a $10,000 deposit earns just $20 after a year. You know, 2.25%. That same deposit would earn $225. You know, finding yields of 2.25% is enough to maintain your buying power and be best positioned for further increases in rates, so says this guy McBride from Bankrate. I'm sorry, we should do a quick analysis of, hey, if you have $10,000 in credit card debt and you pay the minimum, particularly if you pay the minimum amount monthly and your interest rate is the average of 21%, you're going to be paying a heck of a lot more than $225 than you would earning on a savings account with the same interest, with the 2.25% interest rate. So, you know, the Fed begins a two-day meeting today, as we mentioned. The policy statement will be set for tomorrow afternoon, which I'm sure Melody and Butch Paul will talk about in tomorrow's program. You know, the Fed's largely expected to hike rates once more in December, not this week, despite presidential criticism. Interesting stuff. It certainly is not intuitive whatsoever, and again, just boggles my mind what our fellow citizens are thinking when it comes to their money.
Well, they don't, or there'd be more than 1% of the investing population would be owning gold and silver if they did understand monetary policies and how to control their money. They would own much more gold. There'd be many more people owning gold than what they do today. And, you know, something else, too, in December, we could also have that double whammy. I don't know the dates in December where the Feds meet for that rate increase, but I know also in December there's going to be those discussions of a spending bill, correct? I mean, don't they need to start discussing that because what they signed prior to the election runs out in December?
Funding? Well, I've got to go back to the my thinking tank. I thought we passed something to get us up
to December, but I don't know that date in December.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe. Yeah.
That's so that the case. Yeah, so we need to follow up on that to see which comes first. And so it could be a very volatile, end of the year going into the January of 2019. You know, there's still 7.0 million openings in America for jobs. As of the last day of September, according to the government, Well, this reading is lower than the original estimate of 7.1 million job openings on the last day of August. The August peak figure was revised to 7.3. Now, this is an estimated drop of 284,000 from August. So while a decline of this magnitude sounds large, the August revision was much higher. So this was actually the third straight reading at or above 7 million. The so-called JOLTS report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics showed that both hires and separations changed little at 5.7 million in September. So it showed that the job openings rate was 4.5% in September, and the number of hires in September was down from a revised series of 5.9 million in August.
Yeah, you know, the bear with me, Melody, having a little bit of technical difficulty. You know, the number of job openings fell by 188,000 for total private sector jobs and fell by 96,000 for total government jobs. Perhaps the greatest number behind the job openings is the so-called quit rate. These are generally voluntary separations that are, you know, initiated by the employee. And employees have been willing to leave on their own accord for more or applicable or better opportunities for there to be a solid job market. Now, the number of quits was 3.6 million in September, and the quits rate was 2.4%. But there were 20,000 fewer quits in transportation, warehousing, utilities, industries. Quits increased by 15,000 in educational services. State and local government education saw 10,000 fewer quits.
Well, you know, it looks like the larger figure looks exaggerated when considering that the August figure was revised much higher, and considering that the employees are having a harder time filling those positions, meaning it's taking longer to fill the bank vacancies.
Yeah.
And for further evidence of economic strength meeting job market strength, it was just last week that the ZipRecruiter reported that there were more than 1.5 million job postings on its own universe that required no prior experience at all. So things aren't always what they appear or are reported to be. And I guess that can take us over to Korea, U.S. and North Korea. I guess the nuclear talks between Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and a senior North Korean official, they've been called off. There was a statement earlier today that the State Department said that Pompeo's planned meeting with the North Korea's Kim Jong-kol, scheduled for tomorrow in New York, had been postponed indefinitely. So supposedly the two sides are to reconvene at a later date, and an ongoing conversation is supposed to take place. So again, it's kind of interesting that no one's talking about, you know, I mean, this has all kind of been slipped under the rug.
Yeah, I mean, South Korea, who obviously has a key interest in this, you know, one of their spokesperson said, "We don't believe that the delay means that the North Korea-U.S. summit won't happen or that momentum for the summit has been lost." You know, another foreign ministry official there said, you know, there's no need to overthink the postponement. It just is what it is. Now, you know, it is interesting, but, you know, some analysts suggest that, you know, if the administration is weakened by yesterday's elections, that could impact his foreign policy, and particularly test his North Korean diplomatic strategy.
You know, that's true. I mean, you know, we know that the Democrats say they are determined to obtain more information about the meetings that have gone on between President Trump and Pompeo and Kim, you know, thinking that this is too big of a deal, that it's getting done too quickly, and that Kim is just, you know, given very little in return. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And I think this was interesting, where Russia is calling the U.S. sanctions illegal, Dave.
Yeah, Russia says it will consider any new chemical weapons related sanctions imposed by the U.S. to be illegal. That was said by a Kremlin spokesperson today. U.S. State Department announced yesterday that it would impose additional sanctions on Russia after Moscow failed to give reasonable assurances that, you know, it wouldn't use chemical weapons after a nerve agent attack on, you know, the former Russian spy in England. You know, Dmitry Peskov, who's the Kremlin person, told reporters, "We consider restrictions imposed by the United States against Russia illegal." And that, ladies and gentlemen, is saying it like it is. Like, you know, there's no mistaking what Russia's position on this is.
But they're not going to do anything to react to it. They're just making a statement.
Yes.
They didn't say what they're going to do.
Yes.
All right. Well,
sure. No, that's all we ever get. we've seen. So,
well, you know, it was a big week, big day yesterday for elections, a couple months and so forth. And so we're going to do our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden. And Dave, it looks like pizza. We're really changing the topic here from Russia, North Korea to pizza.
So, well, there you go, Melody.
This will be a trivia information to store.
You know, absolutely. You know, there's at least one fun thing about yesterday's midterm elections. You know, a group sent 8,000 pizzas to hungry voters as they waited in long lines that plagued a number of polling places across the country. You know, the group Pizza to the Polls, interesting, collects social media reports of long lines and doles out pizzas accordingly. The nonprofit enjoyed a boost in recent days because of tweets and donations from a handful of Yes celebrities that raised more than $300,000 over a 24-hour period. But rather than going to, you know, any candidate that you might like or despise, they went to pizzas. Co-founder Katie Harlow of Portland, Oregon, said she and two friends came up with the idea in 2016 after seeing long lines, you know, during the early voting process. She said, we just wanted a way to help out and siphon our jitters into something productive. So they picked pizza to keep people in line because of its mass appeal and because it's easily shared. One of those people, yoga teacher Angie Stars, ate some cheese pizza delivered by the group during her two-hour wait to cast her vote in Chicago. You know, she said people that were crabby and quiet transformed into talkative and were connecting with one another. It's amazing how a little bit of pizza can shift the mood. The pizza deliveries turned into a barometer of where the worst lines are occurring. Harlow said that the worst has been Georgia, where reports of 3-4 hour waits were frustrating a lot of people. Now, according to the group's website, which I visited this morning, polls.pizza.com, over 10,600 pizzas were sent to 576 polling places in 43 states this year. You can fund as many pizzas as you wish at $20 per pie. So, you know, Harlow said they will be delivering pizza during the 2020 presidential elections and are going to aim to do so until people aren't waiting in lines anymore. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
Well, you know, this is just a sign where there's just too much money in this country yet. You know, $300,000.
Good Lord.
You know, for pizza.
That'll pay for a couple of Habitat for Humanity homes.
Yes, it would. Mm-hmm. You know, feed the poor and so forth. And anyway, so I guess that's a good that's very interesting. And again, that's just a great information for future trivia.
Yes.
Yeah. Wells Fargo. I think Wells Fargo is becoming the American Deutsche Bank.
There you go.
You know, they. Are you kidding me?
I'm afraid not.
Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. We're going to save this. Maybe I'll talk about this tomorrow. Dave, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. The program's can't be done without you. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I'll be back tomorrow with Butch Paul. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. If I got me a well